Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Good morning to everyone. Happy Easter. No, you sound like people in Lent. Happy Easter. Oh, yes, my dear family, we're still in the Easter day, really. Today is the eighth day of Easter. And so we give thanks to God for this wonderful season that we have entered. And we have to keep that Easter joy alive. We have to be people of the resurrection, not people who still wander in the desert lost, but people who have followed the Lord into a much brighter and more radiant day, which is the Easter day. My dear family, I welcome those of you who are joining us here in the cathedral. Welcome to your home away from home, and the cathedral family welcomes you in this wonderful occasion of prayer together. And we also welcome all of you who are joining us via television, radio, internet, and social media. Thank you for joining us. Of course, you are always in our hearts and in our prayers. Thank you for letting us be with you in your homes, in the hospitals, nursing homes, or wherever you may be this day. May the Easter joy be with you and surround you, and of course be what brings you the all reason to sing Alleluia and Gloria to our Lord. My dear family, being in this Easter season, let us humbly beseech the Lord our God to bless this water he has created, which will be sprinkled on us as a memorial of our baptism. May he help us by his grace to remain faithful to the Spirit we have received. Lord our God, in your mercy be present to your people's prayers, and for us who recall the wondrous work of our creation and still the greater work of our redemption. Graciously bless this water, for you created water to make the fields fruitful and to refresh and cleanse our bodies. You also made water the instrument of your mercy, For through water you freed your people from slavery and quenched their thirst in the desert. Through water the prophets proclaimed the new covenant you were to enter upon with the human race. And last of all, through water, which Christ made holy in the Jordan, you have renewed our corrupted nature in the bath of regeneration. Therefore, may this water be for us a memorial of the baptism we have received, and grant that we may share in the gladness of all our brothers and sisters who at Easter have received their baptism. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. God, cleanse us of our sins, and through the celebration of this Eucharist, make us worthy to share at the table of his kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. God of everlasting mercy, who in the very recurrence of the Paschal Feast kindle the faith of the people you have made your own, increase, we pray, the grace you have bestowed, that all may grasp and rightly understand in what font they have been washed, by whose spirit they have been reborn, and by whose blood they have been redeemed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any possession was his own. But they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds to the sale of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles. And they were distributed to each according to need. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God. And everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. The word of the Lord.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. My dear friends in the risen Lord, today is the second Sunday of Easter, or what is referred to as Divine Mercy Sunday. This day, as Father Pete has also mentioned, concludes the octave, or the eighth day of Easter. You know, we knew back in Lent that was a time for us to kind of become introspective and meditate on how God became man and chose to dwell among us. And we meditated on how Jesus lowered himself in the most powerful way, dying the way he did, and then freeing us from the bonds of sin. And this self-emptying of himself came in the powerful crescendo that we all experienced on Good Friday, that we know as the way of the cross. However, we're past that period, and we have entered into our Easter celebration. But you know, in order for us to get to this Easter celebration, because yes, in fact, we are resurrection people, we have to have a Good Friday. But here we are now during our Easter celebration, a time to joyfully enter into the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, to enter into a new life, into a life of abundance, into a life beyond our human imagination, into a life in relationship with our Heavenly Father. This new life, our new life in God our Father, is made possible by the extraordinary and powerful gift of divine mercy. And this divine mercy flows through our Lord. And we can actually see it in the first two Sundays of Easter. Let's look at today's gospel. We see Jesus encountering the majority of his apostles for the first time since he was taken away to be tried and put to death. And these apostles, these loyal followers, left him. We all know the story. They left him at his greatest hour of need. They were afraid and they hid. They hid fearing for their own lives. But, you know, let's not be too critical of them. We can't be that critical of them, because we all know the entire story living 2,000 years later. Okay? We reenact this. Yes, we all know the story. We know how it comes out. So we could be joyful after we're saddened by the events that took place on Good Friday. But just imagine how they must have felt. And ask yourself the question, would we have been any different? Well, I can answer you from myself, I don't think so. So instead of being critical, let's maybe at some point try to understand them. try to understand what they were going through, what they were experiencing. And Jesus, the second person in the divine Trinity, Jesus knew their human sorrow. He knew, and he understood their suffering and their fears, just like Jesus understands our suffering, just like Jesus understands our fears and our doubts. And so knowing this, he visits them and he gives them strength. He gives them strength and he gives them his peace. Jesus gives them his peace which is the fruit of his forgiveness, of his divine mercy. And Jesus offers peace to them, actually, in our gospel, three times, twice that first night. And once a week later when Thomas, as we call him, the doubting one, was with them. And we read that powerful statement in the gospel that Jesus breathes on them. And he breathes the Holy Spirit on them. And he grants them the capacity to extend his mercy and his forgiveness to the sorrowful. Actually, Jesus, in fact, institutes the sacrament of reconciliation when he tells his apostles, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. What a powerful way for these apostles to continue in the priestly mission of our Lord. Mercy is truly one of God's greatest gifts, and it is a gift. It's one of his greatest gifts to us. And I think mercy and being merciful opens the door to all of us to the fullness of life. Being resentful and holding on to our resentments and hurts just closes that door shut. Because the only ones that we hurt when we hold on to this is actually ourselves. Not easy to forgive. No one ever said it would be. But when we do that, we begin to live a life and live our lives in union with Christ. A life that is full of peace and joy. Regardless of whatever is happening in the world, it doesn't matter. When we begin to live that way, we begin to live a life that gives healing, a life that has real meaning and purpose. You know, just think about this. From the very, very first day of the resurrection, Jesus himself gives clear direction to the church by giving clear direction to his apostles. And in essence, he's giving clear direction to all of us. Did you notice that when Jesus appears, he then disappears? He doesn't stay with them for very long periods. It was like Jesus was telling them, listen, I'm very much alive, so get over that sorrow. Get over that shock. Because I'm truly alive. But I'm not going to be with you physically too much longer. It's going to be up to you. It's going to be up to us. The gospel, the good news, is a living word. A word that is pertinent, a word that is apropos, using a big word, but it's relevant to us today. It's just as relevant as it was back when this happened. It's not just a history lesson that we look at from afar. Because you see, we have to live our faith. We have to live our faith. It's like someone said about prayer. You know, we start to develop and form prayer in our minds. We think of a prayer and we form it. And then that prayer begins to travel to our heart. Okay? And it opens our heart. But the last stage is that it has to get into our feet. In other words, our prayer, has to be authentic, and then we have to be people of action. Okay? And that's the message Jesus is giving to his apostles. They were being told, and in essence, all of us are being told or instructed that we need to take up our responsibility. They were being told, and we're being told, that we should enter in to the process that Jesus had introduced to the world. See, we can no longer be victims or passive observers. We're not just objects, but we are being instructed that we need to be activators. We need to be activators who actually enter in and change the course of human history just by professing what we believe. He breathes on them and he says, forgive. He breathes on them and says, change those bonds that continue to enslave all human beings. And remember, when Jesus finally left on the day of ascension, he gave them and he gave us a dictate. Remember what he said? Go out to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, go out into the world, the whole world, and bring them all together in the name of Father, Son, and Spirit into one universal family. Okay? That's a mandate. That's a dictate by him. That's not just something, well, you know, if you feel like you want to do it, go ahead and do it whenever you feel like doing it. No. That's a command that Jesus gives. And also remember what he says to them and what he says to us after he breathes on them. He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. What a powerful message for the apostles, but also for us. And as I mentioned at the beginning of my homily today, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And Divine Mercy Sunday is based on the diary of a sister, the sister of Our Lady of Mercy, Saint Faustina Kowalska. And our Lord's Divine Mercy is related to us in 14 different revelations that the sister wrote in her diary. In one of those revelations, the little nun reveals that Jesus spoke these words: my daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, especially poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. Let no soul fear to draw near me, even though its sin be scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of an angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. End quote. My friends, how can we afford not to approach the heart of Jesus, the font of divine mercy? And how can we not invite our family and our friends to do the same? May God bless you. May he truly open your heart to receive Jesus' divine mercy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Together we profess. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Dear family, with great trust in God's love, let us ask that he hear the needs we now present.
For the church, that we may strive to build a world where everyone cares for the common good, where no one is needy, and where everyone's material needs are satisfied, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For leaders of nations, that they may work for justice and reconciliation within their countries and regions, seeking an end to conflict and discord, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have committed horrible crimes and feel that they are beyond mercy, that they may be truly remorseful and come to know the unbounded mercy of God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we ourselves may be instruments of peace in our nation and in our community, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God may extend his healing hand upon all those who suffer from illnesses in our community, especially those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus, and bless those who minister to them, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Dr. George Flood, Frank Garza Jr., Layla Garaby, Guadalupe Campos, Jesse Gomez, and the deceased members of the Hagelin family, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And now, my dear friends, for all of those prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these, our personal needs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. God our Father, all this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
brethren, and my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Accept, O Lord, we pray, the oblations of your people and of those you have brought to new birth, that renewed by confession of your name and by baptism, they may attain unending happiness through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation at all times, to acclaim you, O Lord, but on this day above all, to love you yet more gloriously when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. For he is the true Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. By dying, he's destroyed our death, and by rising, he's restored our life. And therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. Yes. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, once more giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity together with Francis our Pope, Michael our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember all our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, may we merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. With faith and hope, we all dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, power, and glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Peace of the Lord be with you always. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Those of you who continue to join us from home, the hospital, nursing home, please join with me in offering the prayer for spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament of the altar. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Hello, I'm Father Pete Alisandro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with His love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, a part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.